Welcome to the Anfield Index Under Pressure podcast. It's been a while since we did one of these. I'm joined by my partner in crime, as always, Mr. Simon Brundish. How are you doing, Si?
Good, boss. Are you?
Very good. I didn't have any intro prepared for you like Mr. Downey, but yeah.
That was tremendous from Downey, but he is tremendous.
He is tremendous. We can't live up to those expectations, unfortunately. But what are we here to talk about? We are here to have a look, not a transfer pod per se, but a fatigue index pod, something that Si works on all year round. Some really interesting numbers here to talk about. What I'm hoping you get out of this pod by the end of it is find out exactly where in the squad there are holes. And what we need, what Liverpool really do need going into this last month of the transfer window to strengthen and to, because I think it's a massive year, Si. If we, well, once we do qualify for the Champions League, there's going to be a lot of games this year, isn't it?
Yeah, a lot of games. So the I looked into, well, forget that for a start. The reason that we're doing this is because everybody talks about squad rotation, squad. Klopp's even talked about it himself now, which is awesome. But I hear and read all the time that we need one player here, or we're fined for players here for the number of minutes they're going to do. Milner's legs are going to fall off, so we need a left back. How many minutes a left back's going to do? We need a squad for this. We need some players going to only play. It's a very, very often common held belief, isn't it, that the younger players are going to play in the Carling Cup or whatever it's called these days. But I wanted to look into using the numbers that I've been collating before for the fatigue index to monitor load against playing results. We're going to use them to look at how many minutes we're going to need to fill next season. So I've looked at two sets of numbers, really. The average number of games an English Champions League team plays in, right? So I looked at the last 5 years, and 54 is the average number of games that we'll get to play in next season, right? If we have a fairly decent run.
Yeah, so that's minimum, just group stages, right?
This is not even playing particularly well. This is just not playing badly. Mm. We'll get through the group games. We'll get a couple of rounds in the cups and the two qualifiers, and we're quickly up to 54 games, right? So from now on, we're going to be talking of average.
And what was last year's game, Si?
We played 46.
Yeah.
Yeah, 46 games last year.
It doesn't seem a lot, but when you add the numbers together in terms of load for each position, yeah, it becomes a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So if we can talk from that perspective, right? So that's last season we played 46 games, but these players also play international football, right? Their legs don't care what colour shirt they've got on. It's still loading their legs. Yeah. So
agreed.
The fatigue index, it includes all international games as well, right? Because it counts against who's going to get injured and who's going to be tired and form and that kind of stuff. So the reason fatigue index exists is so we can loosely predict when somebody's going to get injured and then see if we can if there is any relationship between performance, like results on the pitch. And last season, we discussed, there was considerable. When the load went up, results went down.
Oh, God, yeah, there's a great graph we have. We'll probably share it if we can get an updated version, Si, because it shows December, January, points per game over 28-day rolling period, points per game was down to 0.6. When the load was at 9 games per, you know, averaging 9 games per 28-day period, which tells you something about the squad. There's deficiencies, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So last season, we ended up where we ended up. Everybody knows, even Klopp's talked about how tired the players got over January and then February from overuse, basically. And so given that we had 46 games last season and we got tired, we can kind of draw the conclusion that maybe we were one or two players short last season. Yeah. And now we're going to be playing at least 8 games more. Yeah. So yep. The 2 qualifiers and the 6 group games, at least 8 games more. Yeah.
Oh, God, of course.
And the best case scenario, I've also run the numbers on the maximum number of games, right? So from now on, we'll be talking average and max, right? Max number of games is 66, which, you know, that will be an amazing season. Yeah, we can't do anything about the league. We play 38 games no matter what. But then, obviously, the extra Champions League games get into the final. But that would leave us with 66 games, right? So from now on, during the pod, we'll say next season's average or max, and then we'll talk about how the numbers of both last season, so the minutes that these lads covered last season, against what a percentage of those games is necessary, yeah, the minutes available for next season, and then we'll look at their career numbers as well.
I think the first place and the best place to start, Si, is Nathaniel Clyne, because I think him and Bobby, I think, probably are the two best, really, to start with, in terms of, because of how much they played last year for us, and exactly how much the average will be for 2017-18, and if they played just the same amount, career-wise and last year-wise, what the maximum would be this year, because there's some really interesting numbers there, aren't there?
Yeah, exactly, right? So, Clyne is an absolute beast. He's grossly undervalued, but we'll talk about that. So specifically for last season, 4,370 minutes were available for Klopp to play a right back. Yeah. And I know Clyne played left back for one game, but if he'd played as the right back for the whole season, he would play 4,370 minutes. He played 3,819 minutes total last season, which equates to 80.7% of the available minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So for 19.3% of the time, somebody else had to play right back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Last season, Trent played 12% of the time.
Yeah.
So somebody else as well. Right. But so, you know, and we actually played 3 at the back for a couple of games as well, didn't we, I suppose. But that kind of loosely makes sense. Right. So of those, 80% of the minutes he played at 3,819. For next season, if he played the same 3,819 minutes, which is actually almost his career average anyway, and is an insane number, that would only equate at 74.4% of the time. Yeah. So next season, we need 25% of total minutes available to be played by somebody else.
Yeah, and we're assuming, you know, that Trent should fill that gap with how Klopp's been talking and all the stuff that's happening in pre-season, that you know, Trent should play, easily play 25%.
Yeah, and so that would equate to Trent played 550 minutes last season. He's got a career average of 640. You'd expect that to be going up because he's a kid. And so we're looking at probably 15 games that Trent's got to start next season.
Yeah, I think so. I think he might play more. But like you said, I think 1,200 odd minutes then. So double up from last year.
Yeah, 1,300 minutes.
And remember, what we're saying is that's all he needs to do to cover 100%, you know, that position, basically, the right back.
Yeah, that's if we take, Clyne is playing optimal number of minutes at 3,800 minutes. I would like to see him play a little bit less.
It should be balanced out.
If we can get him around 3.5, that would leave a little stress. So then we're talking 19 or 20 games that need to be played by somebody else. And how awesome, I actually think it would be a really positive thing. If Trent deserves to play 20 games next season, I think that we're in a really, really strong position.
Yeah, at right back, really strong.
Yeah, at right back.
And that means that your fatigue index bit for that position would stay
balanced. That load would come down.
Great.
Yeah, which is great. So if we go over to left back, Milner, you know, he's our left back. We can dress it up however we like, but he is our left back. Last season he played 3,428 minutes, which would be 76% of the time. Yep. Albie played the other little bit, whatevs. Next season, that'll be 64% of the time. So we need 36% to be filled by somebody else. The somebody else is obviously our young Robbo, Andy Robertson. But Andy Robertson, amazingly, I had to research this because I don't barely know anything about him. He's an absolute monster. He's a Klein-like monster. He's had 4,000 minute seasons before.
Wow.
4,000 minutes is insane. We only have three players that have ever done that in the squad. Hmm. And he averages 3,400 minutes, which in a season, which puts him third in the whole squad.
So we've basically got two
It puts him second in the whole squad because one lad is in the sheet that we haven't bought yet.
Right. So basically we've got another workaholic player in there.
Exactly, absolute workhorse. Exactly, so if we load him.
Yeah.
So yeah, what we have to factor in here is also that Klopp's way of working requires more than what would be typical. So last season he was going between 9.8 kilometers a game and 10.2, while Milner's doing 11.2 and Klein's doing 11.1.
Yeah, so he's going to need to get up to the 11 mark, isn't he, every game?
Yeah, exactly. We're going to get 10 between 10.8 and 11 ish. You're going to be hoping from our fullbacks.
So for his minutes, an
increase in his workload.
There you go. That's what I was about to say as well. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, 10% increase in his workload. But he looks to be durable. Like, he has insane work ethic, and he has a history of not being injured and playing all the damn time. So hopefully he's going to be a great fullback for us. And given that last season, it would have worked out at Milner playing 64% of the time of next season, but he was very obviously overloaded, wasn't he? Given that Milner's career, he's only got, he did 4,000 minutes for Villa in one season.
Hmm.
But he's only ever done 3,000 minutes once since then. That was for us.
Yeah, he's a sub. He was a sub at City.
He doesn't even have a history of doing this kind of workload. So was there any surprise he got a little bit tired last season?
Not surprised at all. Absolutely.
So I would like that split, that 65% split. I would like it much closer to a 50-50 split. If not, a little bit more in Robbo's favour.
Yeah, the younger man, the fresh man, that hopefully takes over.
That would mitigate the load much better.
Hmm.
Let's spread it out.
So you're saying fullback's looking good in terms of what we got?
Fullback's looking great.
Okay.
I think we've got them covered. And then you've got players that can slot in from around the squad in case there is more than one injury. But Milner theoretically could play right back as well, I suppose.
Mm, for sure. He'd be much more comfortable there anyway. But I mean, he's not a good fullback full stop, but if the manager asks him to do a job, he'll do it, you know?
Yeah, Klopp doesn't mind him, does he? He seems to like him there. I'm sure he's going to be starting the season unless this injury continues.
Can you remember when you said something about him? I don't know if it was you or someone else saying, it was Jed Davis. Jed Davis said he can't play in a midfield when he doesn't know what's going on behind him. But if he's wide, his back's always to the touchline, so it's easy to play. He gets turned around. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, very good.
Right, so on to centre backs. There's a lot of talk of Lovren and Matip's injury history, isn't there? And how much or how little they play. Right, so last season, Lovren did ostensibly 3,000 minutes. So he did 2,981 minutes, which is actually 20% up on his career average.
That's pretty good.
So despite his injuries last season, he still did more than his typical season. Yeah. So he's done. That career average was also inflated by 2014-15, which he did over 3,100, but he's typically under 2,800. Yeah, which would be about, for next season, it would be about 60% of the minutes.
Yeah.
Next season, right? And then we've got Matip so far, haven't we?
Yeah.
Matip's always injured and he played 200 minutes less than Lovren. That's kind of becoming the narrative that you can't get them both on the pitch and one's always injured and whatever. Mm. But Matip actually has played over 3,000 minutes in five of his last seven seasons. Not an injury prone dude at all.
Nope.
He's actually got 3,700 minute season.
That's great.
Yeah, 42 games. Bang that out. Like two seasons ago, he played 3,700 minutes when we signed him at the end of that season. So this is a guy that doesn't have an injury history. He might pick up niggles, but he plays. So hopefully he is much more like a Chelsea player than a Liverpool player for us going forward.
For next season, it's 56% for Matic. If he plays the same amount this what he did last year, it's 56% and 58% for Lovren.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if you think about it, it's two centre-back spots. We need more than that, right?
Yeah, you need more than two centre-backs, don't you? Hmm. So if you just look at career numbers for Lovren, if we compare his average career season with what's required for an average season next year, so the 54 games, he'll be playing 49% of those. And Matic would be playing 60% of that. So we still got quite a considerable amount of time to be filled, haven't we?
Definitely.
If you look at career numbers, Clavan would be available for 55% of those. So that if you box Lovren and Clavan together, that covers those minutes.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And then Matip, so our fourth centre back currently would be what, Joe Gomez?
Mm.
Yeah. Career numbers for Joe Gomez, which you would expect to go up considerably, wouldn't you? It's 21%. So Matip's at 60. Joe Gomez's career is 21. If he can be up to speed, I think 40% of game time is probably a little bit much for him.
Have you got anything on VVD in case he was to join?
Now, VVD, I looked at him without knowing much about him at all. He is an absolute monster. A monster. So he's got over 4,000 minutes in two seasons.
So his injury last year is a one-off.
Absolute freak.
Okay.
Absolute freak. His career average is 3,864 minutes. Only Klein has more than that. And we're talking top 5%.
Fuck me.
Career average.
That's an average is massive.
That's insane. So only five. I think there are less than 5% of footballers in the Premier League with that. I'm talking that is absolutely elite. And we talk about performances of footballers and whatever, and the value in skill and output, but we grossly undervalue the ability to be on the pitch. So it's the thing with Klein and with VVD. If only they are 7s out of 10, but for that number of minutes, that quantity of time, that would be absolutely phenomenal. So if his career average equates to 75% of the minutes available next season.
So close.
And if you can put 60% of the time, Matip and VVD as with his reputation together as a partnership, how many goals is that going to save us? Considerable amounts.
Loads,
so then,
loads,
then, yeah. then you only have to find 40% of the time between Lovren and Clavan. And incidentally, Lovren and Clavan's numbers together last season weren't bad at all.
No, Matip and Clavan were fine. But I just think the 75% figure, career average, that if he plays 75% of the games, that you're winning. You're doing well. You can really,
yeah.
I mean, that's if we sign him. I mean, it's not that it's confirmed, and until it is, you can't really say that's going to happen. But he's got impressive numbers on the pitch from what we've looked at in the past on other pods. But then in terms of durability as well, that's really good. Really impressive. So no wonder we're going after him, mate. I'm sure someone's looking at this stuff as well.
So that's 40 games. So he'll be playing 41 games next season.
Mm.
So that's 13 that we have to find. And you're probably talking 8 of those are in the cup. So that's 5 games between Champions League and Premier League that he wouldn't play. We've got to be able to rest him during, you know, at some periods during that.
Yeah.
Given the 14 games in like 12 days we've got over Christmas, players are going to get naturally rested over that period anyway, aren't they?
They've got to be this year. There can't be any stupidity of playing 2 games in 20. Like, if let's just say the fixtures is Premier League and whatever their problem, and they're stupid for doing them. But in terms of managing the squad, that's down to the manager, right? He needs to do that better.
Yeah. So we know, and we can plan ahead now. We know when we've got a higher than a game every 3.1 days, and so you can share the load out, can't you?
We've got two. There's looking at how much numbers. Looking at the sheet, and guys, this will be on the tweet. But just looking at the numbers in terms of the averages, the career averages, and the max. The average 17-18%. How much people are going to play? I mean, they're all really low. They're quite low. They're like, for example, let's say Lallana, 52.9%.
Yeah, it's likely he's going to be available for 53% of the games next season.
Yeah, that's just like...
If you put it like that.
Yeah, exactly, compared to last year. That's nothing.
No. So actually, it works out 56% for last year. You're looking at this year's numbers. So
yeah, of course.
How we're going to upright? So if we go with Hendo, defensive midfield, if we go with his career numbers over, so if he's going to be worth his salt at all, we've got to hope he's past his injury. So he only played 48% of the minutes last season, which is just not enough. So if we're looking at career numbers, he's durable, isn't he? So let's go. Glasses half full, and if he plays his career numbers, that's 60% pretty much of the minutes available next season. So he'll be able to play about 60% of the games.
Yeah.
Also, Emre, 58%. So between them, that's a sizable chunk of games. So we've covered DM, and then that carries over to what, 10 more games to play in one of the two other centre midfield slots.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So we got a little abundant there. We've got two in front of there. So who's going to start? You're talking Lallana, Wijnaldum. They're probably first choice. Coutinho is in there as well in a little free rotation. And then you've got the 10 extra games from Chan too. So Lallana, 56%. Phil, 56% pretty much, 55.6. And Wijnaldum, who is a monster, but still only 58%.
I think centre midfield's covered nicely.
Yeah. I think centre midfield's covered, but if you're looking, we're looking at career numbers for Wijnaldum. Last season, he did 3,996 minutes,
including his international forays. Yeah.
But so he's doing 4,000 minutes last season. If we can get 4,000 minutes out of him next season, we're talking much closer to 80% of total games.
Wow.
So we would like him to play less internationals, but his career numbers, they're dragged down by him being young for a start. And not having a full 5 years of first team football. So
right. So
the career averages are over the last 5 years or less, obviously, if they've not played. Like for Woody, he's only played a year.
Of course, yeah. Woody's numbers, there's no point talking about them. He's not had anything, really. Him and Trent haven't really played that much at all.
No. But Mane, so we got Mane and Salah, our right and left wingers predominantly. Yeah. I'd have thought, looking at training, Mane's playing on the left wing. So between them, Mane's got... if he replicates last season, it will be 56% of the time for next season, and Salah would be at 40. But if we look at career numbers, we're talking 62% for Mane and 56% for Salah. So we've still got a fair chunk of change, really, haven't we, to fill. So we still need at least one more player to do. I would suggest we probably need two more players to share that workload.
So
we still have 7,000 minutes to fill.
Phil's all taken up in centre mid?
No, Phil. Well, yeah, the four players rotating through the two centre midfield areas. We've probably got 12% less. No, because we've only got three to rotate between those. So we probably need 27% of minutes left over.
Right.
So if you add that 27% onto Mane, that would take it to 80%. But that would still leave 65% of minutes. So that would still leave us with 3,000 minutes we've got to fill from one of the wide areas.
Wow, that's a lot of bloody hell.
Given that Klein is so the strikers, so Bobby does 3,100 minutes.
Yeah.
So we still need another Bobby to fill that time.
Yeah.
So whether it's Divi playing out wide, whether it's Solanke playing out wide, whether it's Studge and Bobby flitting between them to cover that time, but we still need one more.
Yeah. We haven't talked about Gruic yet either.
No.
So centre mid, so he could free up Lallana as well. No one wants to see Lallana in a front three. No one does. But at the end of the day, what it is at the moment is about what you've got and using it to ensure that other players don't get the load, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So if we got, we still need 3,000 minutes from our wide players or attacking midfielders extra that we don't currently have. That could be filled by Gruic. We've no idea how much time Gruic has got, but we know how much time he's had in his legs over his career, and he only averages 800 minutes in a season. The season before last, he did get 2,400 minutes though in Croatia. So you would imagine he has the capacity to do something along those lines, and then you're only filling up for 500 minutes, so six games. So can you fill six games up like in the cups with Woody?
Of course.
So there you go.
Solanke, Woody,
so if Gruic is playing, between Ajaria in midfield and Woody in, so you're looking at the cops there, we can share with the young kids those two sets of minutes, and we've got the minutes covered otherwise.
So you're looking, so even in striker, we're not down at all. We've got everything covered. So where would, there's no weakness then? The squad looks good?
Well, I would say we're probably 2,000 minutes short. And if you buy one more player for 75 million or so, then that mitigates a little bit some kind of injury. I would suggest, to be sure, we only need one more player.
Wow, which position then? Midfield?
Well, midfield, then you've got the flexibility of pushing Lallana if necessary, which I would hate to see.
Or Phil could go left.
Or Phil forward, yeah, couldn't you? So we've got that flexibility. I would suggest the two attacking midfielders and the two wide players, they're kind of interchangeable.
So, for example, someone like Naby Keita, who's obviously...
Naby Keita.
He can play right wing as well as attacking midfield and...
He would never have to, though, because we've got enough of those players that we can push from midfield.
Oh, what I'm saying, though,
just play midfield and push either Lallana, Wijnaldum, or Coutinho forward.
Oh, what I'm saying, though, Si, is you get a flexible player. Now, what are his numbers like?
He has an average of 2,500 minutes per season. He covers a little bit less ground than we typically do in our centre midfield, though, so we're probably looking at 15%. Increase in his actual load over those minutes. So if you take those 2,500 minutes down to 2,200 minutes-ish, I think that pretty much covers your bases.
Wow. So I reckon someone like a Keita coming in does really balance things out. Now, the only reason why a VVD is necessary is because you want the quality to increase.
The quality for VVD, quality will increase. No, we've definitely got a gap in centre back. That's probably our biggest gap in terms of minutes.
Yeah, because Gomez is still untested, very young.
Yeah, can't expect Gomez to go from what he's gone from, like doing 300 minutes last season and season and a career average of 1,000 minutes. You can't expect him to go from 21% of the minutes next season up to 40. Which, if we're going career against career average, that would be how many minutes he would have to cover next season. So we're talking 2,200 minutes. So more than double what he's used to. So I would see the whole from a minutes perspective, from a playing time perspective as a centre back, definitely from a quality of perspective. But I was of the belief until I looked through the numbers that VVD, that Keita was entirely an opportunity of buying a great player rather than we need somebody to cover the minutes in this area of the pitch. When now I actually do believe we'd be remiss if we didn't buy somebody to play in that area of the pitch. So we need another attacker or attacking midfielder.
Yeah, and he could play a variety of roles and he's comfortable with all of them. So I think you're right. I think there's a method to Klopp's madness in terms of going for these two players. Which is really interesting to come through by analysing exactly our load next year, exactly what we wanted to look at and get to. So you think the two is enough then? There doesn't need to be we've been linked to I think an Ox as well. That would be overkill.
More players is always better.
Yeah.
Because it mitigates against injury and stuff, doesn't it? Yeah. But then on top of these, if you also then add in extra minutes for Ajaria, extra minutes for Woody, you don't know how well he's going to play. Mm. But then also we've got Solanke and Ings too.
Yeah. But you know, injury-wise, mitigating injuries, you just said mitigating injuries. Aren't we already mitigating that by using their minutes from last year?
Their career averages.
Yeah, and their career averages. Because that kind of already tells you how much they're averaging a year, how injury-prone they are. So, okay, I think it's pretty foolproof, this, what you've done.
I think it's fairly, I think this is a fairly decent predictor.
Yeah. I think it's really good. Makes it really interesting to see. And it comes up. It actually it does support why we're ready to splash big cash. Now, we've talked about the quality of the two players we're going after, but we're also looking at durability of the two players now in this angle. And I think it's perfect. Makes a lot of sense in going after those.
If you talk
to
the stuff, how many times did we talk about last season? How many times did I bang my head on about how we weren't unlucky with injuries? We just got the injuries that we were due. We finished in the league table in number of injuries and days missed. We were right in the middle of the pack of the Premier League. So that's about as average as you get. Plus, the players missed alongside their, you could probably say Matip was unlucky because he played less than his career average. Hendo's played less than his career average. But everybody else pretty much played career average or even better than a career average number of minutes last season.
Interesting. Really interesting. So and also last year, injuries, we kind of had a couple that were, everything happened together.
Bad luck of timing, or is it we got injured when the load went up?
Yeah. I mean, if we just quickly look at that side, it's on the other sheet, sheet one, just to talk about, just put into perspective how bad the December-January period is. I mean, the start of the season is great, isn't it? Because you get all the way up to October. Actually, this year's is going to be different. This year's is going to be obviously very, very different because we've got Champions League in that first section now. So however well we started last year, it was most likely because look at your fatigue index stuff and looking at the matches played during the period, everything around five games for the 28 rolling, all the way up to mid-November. Late November even. So that's why the points were staying up around 2.5, 2.6, points per game. And then the drop-off is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. It is, yeah.
It's looking at 0.6 at one point, less than 0.6 points per game at the end of Jan, where we've absolutely just tonked out. And then it rips back up to 3 in Feb when we're pretty much not playing many games.
Yeah, we're in Feb when we play like do we play 2 or 3 games?
Yeah, and we won them all or something.
Yeah.
It just tells you everything about a squad, about it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we had good quality because we proved it at the start. It's all about how much they're playing and the load they're under and how important the sports science is behind the game. I mean, I've been just I went to the course, like we said, a few weeks ago, and how much they put across as well, that the stats and the sports science, all of it has to go in hand and not separately. It needs to all be used together to make real sense of it. And this, I think what you've done here is a very good, very, very good study, really, of last season and a predictor for next. So I think it's really good. Yeah, I mean, it'll be really good to see what happens next season. Now I'm really excited, actually. I do agree with you. I hope Liverpool do stop messing around and just tie two players down, really, whoever they may be, for next season and get this squad completed, because it's getting late now, Si.
It is kind of getting late. But if we're two players down, that is a significant loss. That is an abundance of minutes that we need to have covered. The extreme playing load. The difference is going to be between somebody playing every 4 days, every 4.2 days, to every 3.1. Yeah. And that, in the training load perspective, that is massive.
It's massive.
So they're going to get injured, given that it's probably going to be players that are Lallana, Coutinho, because that's one area of the pitch that are going to have to play too much.
Yeah.
Or
Mane and Bobby and Salah are going to get a lot of load. For example, Salah's numbers, last year, 2,500. He's going to be playing a lot more this year, I feel.
Yeah. But we don't know how many. I did look into how many were available, but they have less available. That's my point.
Yeah.
Playing in Italy, they have less minutes available than we do.
Of course, you're right. Yeah, it's not as much as ours, is it? And also, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was if you look at what Keita and VVD averaged last year. Played last year. It's around 5,000 minutes or something. That's one player, isn't it? Pretty much in the squad. That's a spot.
In the team.
Yeah, in the team.
So between them, VVD 26 and Keita 25. So it's 5,100 minutes. Yeah, we'd be 200 minutes short.
Yeah.
Of one whole player in every game.
Exactly. So it just shows you how important.
Then you'd have to spread the whole of the rest of the squad would have to fill 9 more positions.
Yeah, it's not right. We do. It just shows you the two players. I'm on board now with that. I think if he just signs these two or two for those positions.
Great, but we do. If we don't get Keita, my point is, if we don't get Keita and Van Dijk, we do need two others.
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't have to be them. It doesn't have to be them two. The point is a defender, a centre back, plus a player that can maybe play in a variety of roles in midfield and attack, basically.
But we need a player that can play for about 3,000 minutes in defence, and we need a player that can play for about 2,500 minutes in midfield.
And I don't think Ox would fit that.
The ability to do that, but also that Klopp will trust that.
Yes, that's the big thing. I mean, by the way, I know you haven't looked at Ox's numbers. He's not on this list, but I don't think he would be a fit for this in terms of playing that many minutes.
Is my Jota open? It is. Injury table. Arsenal, Ox, Slade, Chamberlain. He's not even in the squad. In the big study I did for against the top six teams, Oxlade-Chamberlain wasn't even in Arsenal's top 15 players.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
The number of minutes played, he wasn't in their top 15 players over the last 3 years, so I didn't even look at him in the study. But I know for a fact that he missed more than... He averages more than 40% missed.
Yeah, he's a risk to have, I think.
Not even available, not even playing. I'm talking he misses more than 40% of games injured the course of his career.
Yeah, no.
So if we got the other two, then I'm happy for him to come as an extra, but he can't come instead of Keita.
No. It's got to be on top. It's another option. I'm worried. I'm worried a little bit now that we do need to strengthen. You think we will?
Yeah, I'm sure we will. We just seem to be fixed on these two players, and I think there's probably every chance being fixed on these two players that it's going to happen.
Yeah, there must be some kind of assurance somewhere there. Hopefully, by the time this pod's out, those players haven't signed. But if they do, we've covered them nicely enough to allay any fears. So, but yeah, thank you so much, Si. Is there anything else you want to add on this before we do go?
No, that's
perfect.
Not at all.
Absolutely perfect. Thank you. Guys, keep listening. And there'll be a lot more from AI Under Pressure, obviously, next season. We'll look at what we can do in the lead up and do a little bit of a preview if possible. Otherwise, there's loads of stuff going on AI. Go and check out Trev Downey on the main pod, doing a fantastic job with Audible as well. And all the other shows, non-LFC as well, they deserve a bit of a plug. Go and check everything out on AI. And keep reading the articles too. We'll be back very soon.